Chico, California, what is good? It is 5:30 p.m. on a Monday afternoon on June 15th. It's already June, y'all. Wow. Wow. All right. Hopefully you have a July. That's what I'm looking for right now. But if you're listening to my voice right now, that means only one thing is happening here on KZFR. Talk about practice coming up next, but before we get into that, we have to thank the people that allow us to be here right now. Our underwriters, the important people. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by California Health Collaborative. To help protect people who smoke from the coronavirus, the California Smokers Helpline is currently offering nicotine patches while supplies last. To any smoker who would like to quit, call 1-800-NO-BUTS to participate. So if you want to quit smoking, y'all, 1-800-NO-BUTS, ifs or ands, quit the habit, y'all. It ain't worth it. But as you did say, talking about practice, it's coming up next. We got majority of the squad in the building. There's a show for you. Whether it be good or not, that's for you to decide. But let's keep it pushing, y'all. Talking about practice starts right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Party people, how we doing today? That is right. It is Talking About Practice, your favorite Chico's only produced locally sports talk radio show. We appreciate y'all lending your ears for the next hour because we have a bunch of nonsense to get to. But before we get to that, gotta let you know everyone that's here right now. I am your host, Derek Isomaki. I'm also joined with me, my man Sonny Slim, aka John Lucan.
What's going on, everybody?
And we got our 30-minute delay. Our Brad the Butcher, our stat man Brad, Bradley Feingold.
Yeah, you.
That was a 30-second delay right there. We do have a show for y'all. There's some sports to talk about, more in the news category. Some sports coming back, some sports don't look like they're coming back. There's craziness happening everywhere. Some basketball players don't think it's right to come back. Some basketball players need to come back. And we're going to have you give you our opinions on it all. Stuff that doesn't really matter. But
it matters to me.
It does matter out there. No doubt in the sporting world, we want to see sports again. It's been a long time without seeing any live action. Well, I guess I take it back. There's been actual sports being played. Football is back over in Europe. They're doing it properly. Golf happening.
Yeah.
But we're missing the nitty and gritty. We're missing the good stuff. We're missing the playoff time. The playoffs is what we all want. It's the best part of any sporting event, and playoff basketball is a great time of year. It's like summer, spring coming to an end, summer coming around the corner. That's playoff basketball, and yep. We've been missing out on it. And they're all talking about, hey, we're trying to get back into it. But then you have people out there, like Kyrie Irving, who thinks now's not the time to come back. Yeah. There's important things going on, and they think basketball is only going to detract away from our attention.
I mean, I'm not going to say that he doesn't have a point. But I feel like for a player that is already a guarantee, you know, he's a top 10 player in the NBA, has his crazy endorsements, can live with not having another season. You know, like you said before, there's a bunch of role players, six man, seven man guys that they need these paychecks. So it's going to be interesting to see it. And if there can be enough headway with top name players dropping out, are people really going to want to see these playoffs?
You're the Scavs, baby. Might as well bring them all in. If you ever wanted to go to the NBA and never were good enough, now's your time to shine. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but you as a fan, are you going to be tuning in?
I mean, I would lacklusterly turn in even if there were actual stars there. I don't really want. All love your sports. I'm the one that fakes my way through half the show all the time. I don't watch sports, y'all. I really don't. Sure. I'm like, for the most part, just tell me who wins. I'm good with that. And I'll watch a good game.
But with the NBA being more of a star-studded kind of league, I mean with baseball or football, you know, you kind of have your whole team that you follow, right? You know, with NBA, there's the LeBrons, there's the Kyries that you don't really have. I mean, obviously you do have, you know, there are sports fans out there that follow a team, but I feel like NBA is a more star-driven league. So if there's not the stars coming around, what kind of sport is it going to be?
I mean, again, going to be lackluster. I mean, again, we don't know if those people are going to be playing or not. We're still in that speculation stage right now. And so we don't know where we're going to, what this is going to go. And it's, again, easy for Kyrie and Dwight Howard, people of those stature, to make the claims that they don't want to come back. They think there's more important things at hand. But at the same time, there are people out there who legitimately need a job, who legitimately, this is their only chance. They don't have the excess years to be able to throw away.
Too fair?
Yeah.
So the true. NBA, I hope you figure it out. Kind of needed right now. We'll see how it's going to come around. I mean, I would be interested to see how that, what more went on in that conversation with the NBA.
And I want to actually bring on, we have Drew on the phone right now. What's up, Drew?
Yes, sir.
A little bit higher on that one. I want to get your opinion, though, on the whole Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving saying that they are not going to come back for the remainder of the year, if it does start back up.
Well, KD was already saying that he wasn't going to come back several weeks ago, so that has...
It's Dwight Howard.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Dwight Howard and Kyrie Irving, which I wanted to ask you guys, can you think of two worse messengers when it comes to social justice? Two people that play professional sports that you want to hear less from when it comes to social justice matters than Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard? Are you kidding me? You can't make this stuff up. Kyrie is known for coming out and talking, being a flat earth, at least empathizer, right? And Dwight Howard, I mean, like, come on. Like, just not the guys I want to hear about or hear from in matters of social justice. And I loved how quickly Dwight Howard walked that back. He must have got a text message from LeBron real quick. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like John was saying, a lot of these players, even though they're making millions of dollars in some cases, lower-end players, hundreds of thousands, many of them are still living check to check, just like many of us. So they need to come back. So Kyrie and Dwight definitely do not speak for the masses. And on top of all that, I feel that these players, with nothing else really going on sports-wise, have a huge platform here. So I don't understand Dwight Howard's point. He said he wanted to wait till there was a resolution. What does that mean? Till we end racism, so we're just never going to play basketball again? I thought it was comical.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with you. I feel like this can be a really, you know, as far as Kyrie's saying to take away from the shine of what's going on in this country right now, I think it could be the opposite effect. You know, I think this could be a really good opportunity for a lot of players that necessarily maybe not have wanted to speak out on social media in one way or another because they see the Drew Brees or they see the, you know, people, you know, talking before they kind of listen and getting, you know, roasted for it. So I feel like with the playoffs, you know, system or this tournament in place, I feel like it's a really good opportunity for them to protest in their own right, in their own platform.
Yeah, and I got to say, I love Patrick Beverley's tweet saying, basically saying, if LeBron's playing, everyone else is playing. Like, we're going to hoop with him, and he's the one that's leading this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, I just don't understand what we accomplished by not going to work. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, how is this helping anything? I don't understand. I mean, if Dwight Howard feels so passionately about this that he doesn't want to play basketball so he can focus on social justice, then by all means, brother, do it, you know? And you will be commended for it. But to say that we shouldn't come back until there's resolution, again, I think this is kind of ignorant rhetoric to say a resolution. Like, when we talk about matters of social justice, I think it's very important that we be specific. Derek and I were laughing the other day because we both drove by, people were protesting in front of City Hall in Chico a week or so ago, and we were passing by at individual times, but we were talking about how people had net neutrality signs. Like, wait, what are we protesting here? And I think anytime we talk about matters of social injustice, we need to be very specific. So Dwight Howard, basically, I heard Dan Le Batard say he might as well have written it in crayon. It was a fourth grade thing to say. We need resolution. Okay. Agreed. What are you talking about, though?
Well, I like how Maya Moore, when she left the WNBA a couple years ago, she actually had a goal in mind. It was for a man that was wrongfully arrested, and she actually went and fought for this man, using her money and finding anybody she could legally to help this man out. And eventually he got released, and the charges were dropped. And she actually completed her goal, and that was her mission. She was very straightforward with what she wanted and what she was doing and why she was doing it. To say that we want a resolution, like you're saying, there's no goal there. It's just you're speaking to speak at that point.
Yeah, it's an ambiguous term.
Yeah.
We want resolution. What do we want resolution from? Police brutality? Okay, let's start there. Racism? Okay, that's a lot bigger, I think whenever we speak in these terms, we need to be as specific as possible. Otherwise, the message is going to get taken and turned all sorts of ways anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was a ridiculous statement. And just fact of the matter is, a lot of these dudes need a hoop because they need the money. And that's fact. It's not, a lot of these guys are actually taking loans from their agents and stuff. Some of these guys just don't make that much. I mean, compared to some of the other guys in the league. And you never know. Some of these guys are taking care of whole families, you know, extended families and such. So, yeah, I mean, the players are coming back. If the league's into it and the players have already agreed, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
If there is, like I asked Derek earlier, if there is headway with some of these athletes, some of these top-tier players dropping out, Jarreau, do you see it still being a big deal for the sports world?
Yeah, because it is one of the four major sports in this country, one of the most popular sports in this country, and we haven't seen a sporting event since March 18th, I believe, in the four major sports I'm talking. I'm not talking golf, I'm not talking UFC. Look, we all agree, no fans, this tournament style, all of COVID is going to make the championship tainted. But I still think once it's on, people will tune in, just because people are dying for sports. And this brings me back to what we were talking about on several episodes of the pod, on the radio show. Baseball is missing such an opportunity here by not getting out there and playing. I mean, UFC has been doing monster numbers. This the Colonial this weekend did monster numbers for a non-major tournament.
Mm-hmm.
People just want live sports. And keep in mind, gamblers are dying to gamble on something. Like,
amen.
We're going to get big ratings. I can guarantee you this.
Mm-hmm. I think that, I mean, we looked at Long Gone Summer this past weekend as a 30 for 30. And looking at what the MLB is doing right now, we were talking about it at my work. This is going to be as bad, maybe if not worse, than the 94 strike. You've already have a very thin fan base now that has been going away as the years have gone by. And now you're bringing money back into it as the main issue. I mean, you look at baseball fans, they're about the pure sport of it all. They're not about the business side of it. And when you start bringing business in, that's when they start leaving.
And you think about it, right? We had, 40 million people in this country alone unemployed?
Mm-hmm.
And these players are coming off as spoiled and entitled. I'm not even saying I agree with that. I'm just saying perception is reality in this case, right? And these players who make a ton of money and aren't are saying, hey, I'm not taking a pay cut, when we're all dying for sports, and many of us would do any job, really, at this point to bring in some money, for these players to not agree to a deal to come back, even though I think the owners are as much to blame, if not more, the players are going to deal with the brunt of it. And what are we going to have that would bring us back? Because in 98, that McGuire-Sammy Sosa season, what I loved about the documentary is it brought me back. That's when I really started to get into baseball. Other than that, I had never watched any game, really, aside from the World Series. or a Giants game. And mm-hmm. I remember that being such a big deal. And after All-Star break, I mean, daily, tuning into SportsCenter just to see what Sosa and McGuire did. Did they hit another one out today? It was such a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I think baseball's really dropping the ball here by not getting their players out there. But before we go on here, guys, did you all watch it, or where are we at with that? Did everyone watch Long Gone
Summer? I did.
I watched a good portion of it.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing on that one.
Okay.
Did you?
Can we talk about something real quick? They featured Kerry Wood, which I really loved. A hell of a pitcher for the Cubs.
Yeah.
And it was rookie season. And there was a sign that said, "Who needs Viagra when you got Wood?"
That's amazing.
I did not see that, but that is beautiful.
Oh, my God. It was incredible. Chef kiss. This work of art there. I really, really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I had several takeaways from this because I actually... this also made me feel really old because I was thinking, I started thinking while I was watching this, like, do the guys remember this? And I was thinking, Brad, you were like, what, 5 at this time?
Yeah, I was 5 at this time. So I don't remember this at all. I remember Barry Bonds in his 73 season. I don't remember this battle. I remember hearing about it a few years later when I got older, but I never remember actually being able to see it and remember the games that happened.
Yeah, so one thing that I thought that this documentary strived to do, but I think it's hard to really explain how big of a deal that was.
Yeah.
I mean, you pulled in viewers like me. I didn't grow up playing much baseball. I had watched the Giants, and that was about it, like I said. And I was captivated, and there were so many people. My grandparents, who, you know, baseball is like the third or fourth sport they would watch, were captivated by this. I mean, it took the nation by storm. And I know they talked a bit about the pressure and just like the circus it was for Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire with the press and just how they were hounded everywhere they went. But I'm telling you guys, this was a monster thing when it was going on. This took over sports. And I just think if baseball misses this opportunity, how are you going to recreate that to get the fans back involved?
I mean, I definitely remember it growing up, and like you said, Jarrow, being able to see, even watching a Cardinals game, and they would break in the Cardinals game to give you, you know, an update on Sammy's at bat or you know, another home run, and it went back and forth for weeks of taking the leadership of you know, the home run king, and you didn't really know who was going to get to it first. And it was definitely one of those summers that pulled me into baseball more so than just watching Giants games or, you know, meaningful World Series playoff type games.
I mean, guys, they're breaking into Niners coverage. I remember this. They're breaking into Niners coverage to tell you that Sammy Sosa is at bat, and we'll let you know what happens.
Yeah.
Mark McGuire is up next to bat. You know, like, this was a monster deal. And, yeah, I thought the documentary tried to do a good job of it. But again, history, context is often forgotten history. And so it really is hard to recreate what that feeling was. Because remember, guys, like, this is before social media. This is before, really, the internet age was just starting to take off at that time. So there just simply wasn't as many distractions as there were now. So everything in pop culture and sports seemed to be a bit bigger. But I'm telling you guys, this was a monster deal. This was the biggest thing that was really going on that year, aside from Jordan's Bulls three-peating. This was it was just a huge deal.
Well, I mean, for me, I didn't hear about the 94 strike until later on. I heard about a strike in the 90s, but I didn't hear about it until my senior year when I talked to somebody about how, like, they were never going to watch baseball again because of that strike, and I didn't realize how big it was for a lot of the country until I heard that. But one thing on the documentary I'm so happy that they brought up was King Griffey Jr. and how he was in this race and how he ended with 56 home runs. He was only 4 or 5 shy away from tying the record. But those two just went off at the end of the year. And to see that Mark McGuire had 5 home runs in the final 3 games, it was just, I was like, oh my gosh, he did that? It was baffling.
Yeah, it was insane. I had a couple more notes on this, and then you guys can move on if you'd like. But I wanted to mention They had one scene in there where it was just like B-roll, and it was Ferguson, and it showed Black Lives Matter, and I had no idea what the tie-in, like, I know that
is yeah.
in the St. Louis area, but, like, I have no idea what the tie-in was there. It just, like, it just showed some B-roll that I was like, okay, I guess everyone's just, we're all woke now. The ball boy giving the ball back, the 60-second home run back, the one that broke Roger Maris's record, to Mark McGwire, completely admirable, totally dumb.
Yeah.
Totally dumb.
I mean, I get it,
and I really appreciate it, but also really stupid. That ball ended up selling for, what, was it $3.5 million?
Wow.
Something like that. Yeah. And then the final thing, or wait, two more things. Mark McGwire's kid, Matt McGwire, I really need you, Brad, at some point during the show or even after the show. I think it would be good for both John and Derek if they don't remember or didn't see him. He looks identical to Mac from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I mean, identical. It was beautiful. Oh, my God. I really loved that. That was do you know what I'm talking about, Brad? Do you remember his kid?
I remember seeing his kid. I don't Always Sunny okay. was not my thing,
okay.
though.
Please, if you get a chance, try and find a screen cap from that 30 for 30 and show those guys, because I've never seen that. I mean, it was amazing. And the last thing, I loved how they waited till the very end to sprinkle in the steroid thing. And now that we look back on it, I mean, I know Derek and I have discussed this ad nauseum before, but, like, what was the big deal? Like, so many people were doing it, and they right. vilified these guys who literally, I don't want to say literally saved the sport, but brought back interest into the sport and then turned these guys into villains. I mean, they talked about Sammy Sosa hasn't even been invited back to Wrigley yet. Like, mm-hmm. why does baseball feel the constant need to cannibalize itself and ruin its own product? I just don't get it. Baseball would have been so much self-serving if they're like, hey, you know, we all made mistakes. We're all responsible for this. And, you know, it's tough. It's a tainted era. But it's still an era that we're going to recognize and celebrate because it was awesome.
One of the best eras in baseball. I mean,
yeah. I mean, as far as numbers and just, like, entertainment value, the 90s baseball was awesome. I mean, they talked about the Bass Bros. That was such a big deal in the Bay Area. Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire. I mean, just such a fun time for baseball. And for those guys to not be celebrated and kept out of the Hall of Fame is just ridiculous. So,
yeah,
that's my soapbox. Thank you for allowing me my moment on my soapbox here.
I'm going to jump on your soapbox real quick. I would agree. I think it really taints the Hall of Fame right there. It just, the fact that they are putting this group out when not only the media, but the actual league itself turned its back on the integrity of the game and said, go help build our sport, and then to not let them into the Hall of Fame, it really, in my opinion, ruins what the Hall of Fame is, just because the MLB decided, oh, we're going to take the high ground on this one. It's dumb. By the way, a little side note, I've been looking for Matt McGwire on the internet and cannot find one picture of him as an adult.
Okay, I'm gonna do some research, and I'm gonna send it to the group chat, because guys, it's unbelievable. I mean, it is. Oh, it's so good.
Wait, who does he look like on Sunny?
He looks identical to Mac from Always Sunny, and it's funny because, you know, Big Mac, his dad, Mac from Always Sunny. Anyway.
Oh my gosh! Yes, absolutely agree with that one.
Guys, I just wanted to tell you, you all ruined me. You made me much older. This weekend I was watching golf and, like, getting excited about it, and I really don't like where I'm at in life now. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem. It was a great tournament. I lost a lot of money, but it was a great tournament to watch.
How much do you want to talk about how much you
it's
lost?
It's an undisclosed amount. Thank you, Gavin Newsom, for the money. but it's gone.
I mean, hey, you know, if you're getting free money from the government, you might as well spend it on something important like gambling.
No, yeah, that might be the most important thing to spend it on.
Yeah.
You know, and we got the RBC Heritage right around the corner, so, you know, Gavin Newsom, I'll be checking in with you.
Wow, he dropped.
Well, Drew, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule on the road in L.A.
You poor boy.
For coming on. I speak for Derek when I say that he misses you as well. About 2 minutes into your soapbox, he got his car keys and just walked out of the studio. So I'm not sure exactly where he is. But we're going to keep this thing pushing. So I appreciate you for coming on and talking a little shop with us.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. If you guys need me again, I am busy, but I'll make time.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
All right, boys. Good luck.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Like you said, there's a two-man wrecking crew in the building. Well, I mean, we have a special guest, a buddy of ours.
He also knows his football.
Yeah. Yeah. Rudy. Rudy Vasquez is here visiting, and
should we do foot and mouth?
I mean, if we want to put Rudy on the spot for his first appearance.
Are you ready to go foot and mouth on this one?
It's not Derek Isamaki's.
No,
Rudy's.
It's not. But
let's do it.
We have a little guest appearance on this one. So, everybody, it's time for foot and mouth.
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as.
39 was last year, and he could barely, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Isamaki's Foot in Mouth.
All right. So like we said, it's not Derek Isamaki. This is Rudy's. So Rudy, give us a little rundown about what's going on in Europe. I know things are strange in this pandemic, but things are kicking off and getting pretty heated over there on the other side of the pond. So let us know some games coming up and maybe some games that you want to bet on.
Okay, sounds good. So yes, like John was saying, soccer is in full force. Spain, German, and we got the big one on Wednesday, which is the English Premier League, which I think...
Oh, they're starting on Wednesday. Ooh, Wednesday. I like
so,
it.
So I believe the league is pretty much, done because of the top team in the league right now, which would be Liverpool. They're in the lead, I think, 18, 20 points right now in first place.
Oh, check that one.
They're clear first place. Everyone's going to be pushing for...
Oh, yeah.
The Champions Leagues for next year, which is, the top five teams in the league, or top four, sorry.
And then after that, it's what? Five through seven goes to the Europa?
Indeed, yeah.
All right.
So right now, that's what they're pushing in the English League. Hop back into the Spanish League. There's a tight, tight race with Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Ooh,
which I believe it's a 1 or 2 point difference
right
now.
It's a 2 point difference. Barca's leading 61 to 59.
Which, anytime those two teams are in the top of the league, it's always going to be fun to watch because they both hate each other, and the players hate each other, and they're both playing with the same nationality teams. So.
Yeah, right. And I think the biggest part about that is that goal differential is not that far behind either. I mean, Barca's got a plus 36, and Real Madrid's got a plus 32. So that's going to be a huge factor at the end of it all.
Indeed. So we'll see with that one. My prediction on that one, I would have to say Barcelona, because I think Messi's on a mission. He's tired of all the talk of people saying this and saying that. And Real Madrid has some key players in there that are new. Great, great players. But at the same time, Barcelona has more of a core team that have been playing longer than Real Madrid.
The craziest thing to me about European soccer is, Messi, I mean, all these kids get into these clubs, at 13, 14 years old.
Maybe even younger.
Right. So I feel like I've been seeing Messi for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how old is this dude? Is this dude ever going to retire?
I mean,
I think he's 33, maybe 32.
I mean, that's got to be older inside in any professional sport, right?
He's 32. He's got at least another 3, 4, maybe even 5 years on him.
Really?
But I mean,
when you see, I mean,
when you're looking
Ronaldo,
at, yeah, when you're looking
yeah.
at,
he's a different person, though.
Footballers, and they are going until what? They're 37, 38. I mean, that's just my guess at this point. Like, I don't know what the average lifespan of a or a career span of a footballer is, but I would imagine it's somewhere
yeah,
like a
anywhere
catcher.
From like 30 to 33, 34.
Yeah, for those premier players.
Yeah, for like the top leagues in all of Europe. And that's why a lot of those players come to the U.S. Just to get that last paycheck.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, which is surprising that Zlatan came to the United States. because he wasn't, in my opinion, he wasn't on his last leg.
No.
So I don't know why he came so early. He only came for, what, a year?
I want to say
and
2 years.
2 years now, he's moved on.
Well, with him, he's been on every top team in every league.
Yeah.
And
well, except for Bundes. He has not been in Bundes.
Yes, you're right on that one.
I was going to say, that's the only team, the only league I've, but he's been in Premier. He's been in
Italy. He's there now.
Yeah. Italy. Oh, he's back in Italy?
He's back in Italy. God, I want to say he's on AC Milan now.
Okay.
I think he conquered the MLS so quickly, and he was like, dude, I could go back to Europe and conquer that again.
I still think he didn't conquer it.
You had
Carlos Villa, or is it Carlos Villa?
Carlos Vela.
Vela.
Yeah. Great player.
For LAFC.
Outstanding player.
Yeah.
He scores goals left and right. And everyone's comparing him to Zlatan, and then Zlatan kept on saying, yeah, at 25, I was playing over here in Italy with so-and-so team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not hating on Carlos. He's a great player. He's a great Mexican player.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he just got tired of playing in the U.S. It's a whole different style. There's only, you know, a handful of great players. Everyone's mediocre, but there's only that.
I would say, like, within the Americas, I would say it'd probably be the top tier league of the Americas. Would you imagine, or is there a different league?
I would say in the U.S. and then you got the Liga MX in Mexico.
In Mexico, yeah.
So yeah, that would be for sure the top two.
Because mm-hmm. I've never heard anybody raving about the Brazilian league, even though their national team is
outstanding,
but their league in their country, I haven't heard much about.
No.
The only time I've ever heard about the Costa Rican league is because it was the first league that started up in the Americas. I think of like all the leagues, United States, like the MLS, is the best in the Americas, but far inferior to the European leagues.
100%.
Like I would say even they're probably inferior to the Russian leagues over there. It's that bad.
Maybe not so that bad, but
little stretch. Okay,
a little stretch, but because that Russian league is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got solid. Like the Russian national team
is phenomenal. They're up there.
They're up there. But you can't compete with those other guys over
there.
No. You know?
I would say that they're able to put their foot forward, but they're not.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have to
agree. They're not Spain.
So this Wednesday, you said Premier League starts.
Yeah.
English Premier League. Is that it's going to be televised? I'm assuming they always have it earlier.
I'm assuming
it'll
be on NBC Sports.
NBC Sports?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's,
and it's European, so I'm assuming 9 a.m.
9 a.m. or 7.
Okay.
Around there. I know they changed the time. It was either going to be in effect this year or next year, where more Americans could be watching the games.
I'm looking at it right now, and it's saying that 10 a.m., Aston Villa and Sheffield United's at 10.
Okay, so they did change the time.
Man City and Arsenal
at 12. Eastern?
No, it's Pacific.
Oh, wow.
That's what it's telling me on ESPN.
Okay.
So,
yeah, it's
going off of them.
No, I know. That's right, because I know they've been talking.
Which is smart for them.
Smart for them.
Yeah.
But everyone in Europe's all mad because they're like, why change something that we've been doing for X amount of years? So
I mean, they only changed it by, what, a couple hours?
Yeah, an hour or two. But,
a huge difference for me.
No, really, really huge
wake
difference.
Up till noon, usually. So.
Well, I mean, it's
you
a huge difference.
You told me 10, I can get on that train, you know?
Yeah, it's a huge difference for them, like the West Coast of the Americas. Like East Coast, you're watching it at, what, 12 or maybe even 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. But if you're talking about the West Coast, that demographic, you're waking up at 6 in the morning, and a lot of people don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Myself included. All right. This is Talking About Practice. Thank you guys all for listening. Your boy, Statman Brad. Myself, Sonny Slim. And our special guest, Rudy Vasquez. And hopefully Derek's okay. I don't know. Maybe fell down the stairs or something. I don't know. Hopefully he's okay.
Well, we'll find out.
Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Feather River Recreation Park District in Orrville. During this time, the first priority of the district is public and employee safety. The preschool is open from 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, providing daycare for working parents. For more information, visit us, Feather River Recreational and Park District in Orrville, us, at frrpd.com. That's frrpd.com. So thank you again to Feather River Recreation and Park District in Orville.
All right.
All right. So, talk soccer. That was weird for us to talk soccer. You know what I mean? Just
what do you want to get weirder?
I mean, let's just talk NASCAR. It's just you and me in here. Oh, I mean, Rudy's in here too. So,
So before we talk about some weird news, more topic based, I just want to give a shout out to Tyler Reddick. He's out of Corning, California, just right up the road from us here in Chico. Oh. He actually nabbed a top five spot this past week in this last race in Miami. He got the number four spot. He's right now in top 19 for points, but still was competing the whole entire race. Was within a couple seconds, actually. I think he led a lap in this last race. So good for him, Tyler Reddick. He's made it to the circuit. This is nice. From what I've heard, it's his first year. He's 24 years old. So just think about that. 24 years old, playing professional baseball or professional NASCAR. Racing. Sorry. It bothers me when young people are being more successful than I am. It just bothers me.
Well, it's not
me.
Hard, Brad.
Yeah. No, it's not. We've set the bar real low. But anyways.
You're wearing basketball shorts and flip-flops right now. It's not hard, Brad. Fair. I mean, I'm not doing much better. But
no, I was going to say.
At least I have shoes
on. I mean,
on.
At least I didn't lose this weekend on betting. I'm just sitting right there. So anyways.
That happens.
NASCAR banned the Confederate flag from racetracks and all their properties. A little late, but you know what? It's a start.
Just a tad late.
It's a just a tad late. But to think about like NASCAR doing this, that is their fan base. Like that is their fan base, and they actually made a statement: the presence of the Confederate flag at NASCAR events runs contrary to our commitment to providing a welcoming and inclusive environment for all fans, our competitors, and our industry, bringing people together around. A love for racing and the community that it creates is what makes our fans and sports special. The display of the Confederate flag will be prohibited from all NASCAR events and properties. So not just the events, but it's also at their facilities, which is a huge turnaround for them. I mean, I don't want to give them like a clap, but I mean, because they really don't deserve it. But good that you are finally doing something.
Happened. Yeah, I think it's ironic that it comes at the request of the only full time NASCar
black.
Driver
yeah.
In the circuit in Bubba Watson.
I mean, at least they did it within. He called for it within 2 days.
Yeah,
they made it
right.
Like they didn't hesitate.
To me, it just feels like you said, it feels a little late at this point. Mm. You know, and seeing one of the racers a few weeks ago tweet out that he would be retiring after this season because he cannot have his special flag, is how he put it in his tweet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hilarious. The funniest part is NASCAR came back on a tweet and didn't even know who he was. I believe this gentleman is 50, close to 50 years
He's
old.
He's 50.
And he drives the truck circuit for NASCAR, I believe. He doesn't even drive.
It's an irrelevant NASCAR series.
Right.
It's not the big one. It's an irrelevant one.
Do you have the tweet that NASCAR sent
him
back?
Oh, yeah.
You would read that for us?
We actually had to Google who you were. I'm sure your dozens of fans are real sad about your crusade to defend participation trophies. Ooh. So,
Hats off to NASCAR for that.
This guy has raced in 22 plus races in his NASCAR career. Again, he's 50. He has not pulled. He has not been top five nor top 10. He is a straight up loser like that flag.
Yeah.
Like, he represents that flag to a T because mm-hmm. he didn't win a damn thing.
Nice.
So, It baffles me.
I'm interested to see moving forward, though, what NASCAR does. I mean, mm-hmm. just this band and all professional sports, you know, companies for that matter. But I feel like you said, in NASCAR, this is really prevalent and has been for their existence.
Yeah, and that was their culture is because their fan base was damn near Southern.
Yeah,
and
it was going to be Southern. Yeah, Southern fan base. But at the same time, I'm interested to see. How they go about keeping this ban in place. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's not be naive to think that there's not going to be a motorhome or two that's going to be trying to go there.
Yeah,
that
with
is
going to
be pushing the envelope.
I mean, you also look at the fans that are just going without like the motorhome, like the big fans. They're going to go with their T-shirts on, whether it be a Leonard Skinner shirt or whether it just be a flag on the back. Like, are you going to ask them to take their shirt off which that group of fans, you don't want to see them with their shirt off.
Well, give it an hour. I'm sure their shirt will be off. But
well, agreed. But do you, like, how do you enforce it? It's like, hey, no refunds, but you can't come into our facility until you go change.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to take...
Which I think they should do, but mm-hmm. I mean...
It's going to take more strict, you know, searching at gates and security. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, these are kind of almost festivals in this. I don't know if you guys have ever been to a rave.
Yeah,
but,
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, these are all weekend several. Events. You mm-hmm. know, people, a lot of people camp or bring their motorhomes. I mean, how do you search, mm-hmm. you know, vehicles? I mean... If people are going to want to bring this in, they're going to bring it in.
Yeah,
it's just I feel like they're going to have a lot more patrol walking mm-hmm. around sites, stuff like that.
Or they'll respect. Or I think a lot of these fans, I would imagine what they would do is in their motorhomes, they'd respect what NASCAR is trying to do, but also understand that this is their flag and they're going to have it inside the motorhome and not outside this time around.
I just have a hard time believing that fan base, not all of them, but that majority of that fan base has a lot of respect. For
it's odd because the way that they talk about that flag, a lot of them are not in their minds racist. They don't hate that group.
It's ignorance.
It's straight up ignorance, and they don't think it's. But they respect the people, which is contradictory to what they're doing. But they don't think they're doing that, so they'll respect the people that are wanting to come without the flag. So they'll put it away, but they'll still be praising that flag. What it seems like, it's that, like you said, that fan base is
closet POSs.
Yep. So we just wanted to bring that up because that guy is garbage. I don't even want to mention his name on here, but the fact that he even had the gall to say that NASCAR is going to miss him, basically, it's like no, you didn't even do anything.
Your name was what again?
Yeah, I don't.
No one.
Actually, I was listening to Dan Lebatard show today on ESPN uh-huh. podcast, and they mentioned his name, and if you say it fast, it actually sounds like racist. His name, I believe, his name's Ray, but his last name, if you say it close together, it sounds like racist. So, I mean, it's just the irony is just mm-hmm. abundant. I love
it's Sicarelli.
Ray
Sicarelli.
Ray Sicarelli.
Ray Sicarelli.
So racist rally.
That's insane. That's almost too unreal.
You can't write that.
No.
That is perfect. All right.
What's next on the agenda? I mean, it's going to be interesting.
It's been bare. We're still waiting for NBA going on in what? A month still? We're still waiting for a month there.
A whole month and a half.
Yeah. But right now, do you have any grinds my gears?
I have one.
You only have one? Okay.
Yeah, I have one. So if you want to get through just one, and then we can move on to something else.
Oh, I've got a few.
Okay.
Oh, I've got a few. So I'm going to let you go first, and then we'll go from there. So here we go.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When Derek's hosting the show, and he just gets up for no apparent reason and walks out and leaves me to host the show. Yeah.
All right.
I hope everything's okay.
I'm gonna change this person's name. To Rudy, just because the person I'm talking about is a elementary school going to junior high, and his mom. So
you know what really grinds my gears?
To Rudy's mom that put paint on the back of her car congratulating her kid going into junior high. I do not like you or your child. Unbelievable. Your kid graduated elementary school. I've bickered about this so much on this show, on the podcast. It bothers me to no end.
You know what really grinds my gears?
The people with I love my dogs stickers on the back of their car. I get it. You're lonely. You have no friends. But do not publicize it to everyone. And you want to know what? The people with cats, I love my cats, are the worst. They're worse than the ones with the dogs.
Yes.
You are horrible, and you're going to die alone.
Jeez.
Some hatred right there.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it.
I am. I really don't like those bumper stickers.
Usually they're the soft one, but I guess when Derek and Drew are gone, you have no other option just to be violent.
Oh, you have no...
I'm liking the side of you, Brad.
I'm liking the energy right now.
Yeah.
You know what? I might jump off a cliff.
Don't do that.
It won't take 30 minutes. Oh, gosh.
So, Let's jump back. We talked about
a few more grinds my gears later, but you know,
okay,
it's gonna calm down.
You settle down. Settle breathe. Let's bring it back down to normalcy. You have on here. You talked about the MLB draft taking place last week.
Yep.
Although Manfred has come out, the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred,
probably one of the worst commissioners in all of the. All of baseball, my opinion.
Or just leagues across
the world. Actually, you know what? Yes, across every major sport platform. The worst commissioner.
But yeah, I mean, he says they still have not found, you know, a common ground between players and the ownership.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried to do 50-game seasons up to a 75-game season. Realistically, you being the sports, you know, baseball
guy
happen. Here, you don't see baseball
coming back. It's not coming back. And it's, in my opinion, it is the owner's fault, but we're going to look at it as fans, as the player's fault. Yes, the players are not wanting to take a pay cut, but it's also the pay cut that they're taking is extreme. I mean, the first suggestion or the first offer was taking over a 50% pay cut and playing over 50% of the games. It's like, no, that's not going to happen. I get it, you're not going to have the fans, but you've also signed it. The owners have signed a contract with these players.
Right.
And I get that they're not going to play all the games, but at this point, something needs to be worked out because the rest of history for baseball is going to be determined by this moment, because I think a lot of these teams, a lot of these minor league stadiums are going to be gone
right
in the next 10 years if they don't get a season.
Some of the franchises that are already, I mean, even the top franchises, not even AAA or AA mm-hmm. teams, you know, and the Miami Marlins mm-hmm. or, you know, teams that can't get that fan base
these low market teams. And I'm not saying that they're horrible, but I mean, they're not pulling in the fan base like the Yankees or Boston or LA, or even getting the merchandise sales like those three teams. I think the only team that I would be confident surviving as a low market team is Seattle, just because that fan base makes zero sense. They follow their teams, them, Portland, and Seattle.
Yeah, they're kind of sequestered up in that.
Yeah,
Pacific,
and they love their teams hella high water. So I think. A lot of these lower-end market teams, like Milwaukee, like Tampa Bay, and like Miami, they're not going to go very well.
But now what does this mean with the MLB draft? I mean, mm-hmm. some of these players, you know, going top first rounds, you know, would expect not normally to hit the big leagues in their first year. Most mm-hmm. don't. But, I mean, how does this, as far as contracts, I mean, are these guys getting paid? Are there signing bonuses?
Well, you're looking at the first couple rounds, you're going to see these guys getting these $3, $4 million contracts just because they're so highly touted. But after that, I mean, prior to this draft, over thousands and thousands of minor league players were fired or let go because there will never be a season this year for minor league. That's just not going to happen. Majors, they're trying to get it done. I don't think it's going to happen, but minors was never going to happen with everything going on. So a lot of that is going away. We'll see what happens next year, if they even get signed back. And there's already they're cutting down the minor league teams in the major league affiliate system down by 40. So they're already cutting it. It was like a 162, and they're dropping it down to an even 120. And that is...
So some of these guys that are going in the top, let's say, top 20 picks of the mm-hmm. MLB draft,
mm-hmm.
they're not guaranteed a spot, you're saying, next year?
Oh, no. If you're in the first two, three rounds, I would imagine you're guaranteed. After that, it depends on what the team has and what his needs are. So the first three rounds, I would say... You're guaranteed a spot on a minor league team, on a minor league team for the next couple years, and then you can prove yourself from there. But these guys drafted under that, there's no guarantee.
And so, I mean, with them cutting so much, are they going to mm-hmm. be cutting single A, double A?
They're cutting a lot of like the lower ends. So they're going to have their one triple, one double, and one single, and then a lot of teams have two singles. And they'll have a rookie league, and then they'll also have a short season A. So the Giants have a couple teams. There's one up in Oregon in Salem. The Volcanoes up there, that's their short season. They have a the rookie season in Montana, Idaho, and I think there's one in South Dakota. There's those leagues in Colorado as well. So those leagues are going to start going by the wayside. So you're not going to have these rookie seasons.
Yeah.
Those rookies that are drafted in are going to go straight into single A, and we'll see what happens there. It also might mean that in the future, these drafts are going to have a lot less rounds, because there's like, what, I think 50-some-odd rounds?
Yeah.
I kind of lose track at like 25, because at that point, it's you're somewhat irrelevant.
You said it right there, Brad. Lose track. This is why we never talk baseball.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting for these kids that are hoping to get their dream fulfilled, because a lot of those guys that are drafted in the very, very low ends have great minor league careers but never make it to the majors. But they'll be mainstays on minor league teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they also help bring up those top tier players throughout the minor league system. So,
yeah, super interesting stuff, you guys. Baseball talk all day, every day. Baseball.
I'm gonna let you filibuster for a sec. We're gonna get on our foreign correspondent in just one sec.
All right, let's do it. So golf happened. It's back.
It is back.
Tiger is not technically back, but he will be. Don't worry. We had the Charles Schwab Challenge this past week, with not a surprise. I mean, you didn't really have you had Spieth, you had Rory McIlroy, you had those guys kind of competing, but in the end, two guys, Berger and, I'm going to butcher this, Morikawa, were the top two finishers. Two guys I've never even heard of. But it was exciting, like Jarreau said. It was exciting to watch sports again.
Yeah.
Did you get to catch any rounds?
I did not catch any of the rounds, but I did see the highlights. So
Bryson DeChambeau kind of was an up and comer last season before the tour kind of fizzled out with the coronavirus and all that. The guy is huge. I don't know if you've seen him.
No,
the guy has gained like 50, 60 pounds.
Oh, man.
He's hitting his drives over 300 yards. It's insane.
Just real.
He had what? Every time. Three 360s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. He had like 367 was his furthest.
Almost green to par five.
That's unreal.
Absolutely insane. Do we get?
We have our foreign correspondent on.
Nice.
Aaron, are you there?
I'm here. How's it going, guys?
Thank you.
Oh, our
savior. That's
great. You have no idea how good it is to hear your voice right now.
Guys, why is Derek even part of the show anymore? I think we just need to fire him.
Well, we just didn't want you to get... We didn't know if it was a package deal kind of thing.
Yeah, we didn't...
I just forgot because I was just trying to figure out
what we're doing next.
Definitely not.
So apparently you have... What is it? UFC for us today?
We could do UFC. We could do golf. We could do hockey. I am prepared.
Wait, hold up. Do you have hockey news?
No, there's not much.
Okay, let's do UFC. I was going to say, like, wait a minute. Did I miss something? So UFC.
Well, so training camps officially start July 10th. They've set that date, but there's so much up in the air. It seems kind of strange that they're setting a date because, like, they don't have hub cities. They don't have a lot negotiated still. So they're kind of drawing a line in the sand, but at the same time,
it's a line that's going to be washed away soon.
Do they have fight card? Do they have like fight cards set up? And who?
No. We're talking about hockey right now.
Oh,
so we're talking about how like
we're talking UFC.
We're going to in a sec, but we're talking about how hockey doesn't know what the heck's going on, just like baseball.
Yeah.
But they're a little bit more committed.
They're more committed, absolutely, and I think that the July 10th date was just set, so there hasn't been a lot of opportunities for the players to say they do want to do it, they don't want to do it, but that's still what, like,
now as
four
far
weeks
as,
out almost?
As far as training goes, Aaron, I know a lot of stadiums and stuff like that, especially in California, are going to be shut down. Where are they all going to be in the same facilities practicing and sharing ice time, or how is that going to work?
So it's kind of like the NBA. It's the same thing. It's kind of state by state, facility by facility. So some of the facilities have opened up.
Okay.
But it's limited. So, you can't all go in together as a team. You've got an allotted amount of time. And so because of that, some facilities have chosen not to open up because a lot of the players have just said, I don't want to go through all that nonsense. I'm going to train where I've been training. So it is state by state, team by team. It kind of just depends. So a July 10th start date still seems kind of aggressive if they don't have a hub city of where
The official start date, that's the actual first game they have out, or that's just the training before the tournament starts?
But that's mandatory. So that's a mandatory show up date, and if you don't, I don't know what they're going to do yet. Everything is still so up in the air.
It's interesting. I really want hockey to come back, though, because granted, I am a Sharks fan, and we had no shot this year. I think we were the second worst team in the league. Yeah. But the fact that every team is making it in, essentially, is kind of interesting.
They're basically all in the playoffs. It makes it a little bit more exciting.
Right. And are they going to be doing have they kind of mapped out the tournament kind of brackets as far as three-game series, five-game series?
It's going to be a five-game series for those that are not in the top four.
Oh, really?
And then that's the play-in the play-in series to get into the first round, technically. Okay. And then the top four will do they'll play three games between everyone in their conference, and then that'll seed who gets number one, number two, number three, number four.
Gotcha.
Wow.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
So, and then if there's a tie at one or tie anywhere, it'll come down to regular season head-to-head matchup and what that looks like.
From the season that they had already played?
Yes, from the season that they had already played. If there's a tie within that three-game matchup that all top four teams play, then it'll be decided by how they did in the regular season.
Hmm.
So, But UFC, we got 4 minutes, so let's hear it.
Wait, so I'm going to do a really quick recap because I want to see what John thought about golf this weekend, because I heard he lost a lot of money, and I don't want to know how much he lost, but I wanted to know why he lost so much. So anywho, it was kind of a wild UFC fight night. The first, I think it was all the prelim fight lasted less than a minute. None of them went into the second round, and then there were a couple more submissions in the actual fight night. But the big fight of the night was Jessica Ai versus Cynthia Calvillo, and that did go five rounds. It was a good fight. It was pretty close, but it did go to decision, and Cynthia Calvillo took the cake. And the way that it works in my household is that my husband and I pick each fight who's going to win. And it's always, there's always a loser, and the loser takes a shot, and I lost four of six fights. So you could either say it was a great night or not a great night for me.
Great night, not a great morning.
Yeah. That's true.
All right. So
your golf.
Quick recap. Golf. Let's get into golf.
Yeah, I want to know what you thought was going to happen.
Okay, so, kind of reading up a little bit on my research, I'm also a big advocate of superstition.
Yeah, that's a real sports thing.
Yeah. So seeing Brooks Koepka with that mustache, just, it did something for me. I just thought, he had the energy to take the tournament. Plus seeing him at, I think it was a plus 3,500 to win it all. Looked like a decent odd number for me. So I took him to win it all, and he didn't do very well. A lot of the stuff I was reading up to the match was a lot on Kevin Kinsner and how he had kind of played up until that point, and every time he plays in Texas, he's always around a top 10 finisher. I think he was at like plus 8,000. Which is an even sweeter odds number for me. So I was kind of chasing the bank a little bit on this one. But I was really surprised to see kind of round three and four kind of where Spieth, kind of tapered off a little bit. And I don't want to say the no-namers, but a couple guys, coming in there and really surprising me.
Well, no, I think you're right. It was a ton of no-namers. As someone who is not a huge golf, I enjoy it. I really enjoyed watching it. It was a really exciting final 2 days. But I asked my husband, I was like, hey, who's Daniel Berger? He's like, well, I've heard of him, but and my husband is an avid golfer, like just really follows it. And he was like, yeah, he's kind of like a golfer, but so it's pretty great. And Colin Morikawa, same thing. It's like, who is kind of from nowhere. So it was exciting, I think, to see a playoff round, and then poor Colin Morikawa really crapped the bed there on that final
missing three that little putt, man. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I can't say that I haven't been there.
Yeah. So it was exciting. It was really exciting. I don't know if I've ever been so excited to watch golf.
Do you think just real quick before